Well, let's go to the Psalms right quick just for a few thoughts before we enter into prayer. Can't hardly read the Psalms without being in the spirit of prayer, the attitude of prayer. The fifth Psalm is no different. Certainly is a prayer. The fifth Psalm, he begins it by saying, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." What a way to begin a prayer, right?
Right.
Certainly, that is our first prayer, if we can say it that way. As we begin to pray, that is our prayer, that God would hear, and Brother Jerry was saying that he would answer our prayers. If he hears our prayers, of course, he will answer them, right? That's what we're counting on. If he hears our prayers, he will answer our prayers. Now, again, there's a lot of debate about, you know, well, does God hear the prayer of sinners? In other words, the unconverted. Does God hear those prayers? Well, in one way, you can say, yeah, he hears them because he hears everything, doesn't he? He hears every idle word that we say. But does God hear? And when we talk about hearing our prayers, we're not talking about just the sound resonating. We're talking about really answering those prayers. That's what we really mean when we talk about hearing our prayers. So God does hear our prayers, and he answers our prayers as he hears them. But according again to his own pleasure and according to his own will. So it is necessary then, as the psalmist says, give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. That is indeed what we hope for and expect in those hopes. Today, as we enter into prayer, and it's so, whether it's corporate prayer or whether it's private prayer, we enter into our own closets in the privacy of our own thoughts and our own meditations. we certainly look for the Lord to hear. He give ear to our words and to consider our meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. Now, Brother Bruce, that might be a word that you could look up and see how often the psalmist cries out. I don't know how many that would be, but I am positive that you'll find numerous multitudes of times that this term cry is used by the psalmist, that is used in prayer, not only in the Psalms, but by others of God's people. In fact, that's usually what we always do, isn't it? We are crying out to God.
I've used that word before in my prayer.
It is biblical. And cry. We are children, and but what does that term "cry" imply? It implies that we have a need, right? It's not something that we just, you know, it's not an arbitrary thing or that we're asking or desiring. It's not frivolous things that they're asking for and desiring. It's something that we feel a need to cry out for, to beg, if you will, to plead with God, that He hear not only our prayers, but our supplications unto Him. So, hearken unto the voice of my cry, right? My King and my God. What is the point of praying if you don't have someone to pray to that is capable of answering? There's no point in it, is there? I mean, you might as well cry out to me, or I might as well cry out to you. And there are some things, of course, that we do cry out to each other for, and we can, to a degree, help one another. But as far as the things of the Spirit are concerned, who can help? And so we go back to Hebrews chapter 4, right? Come boldly before the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and grace to help when? Yeah, in our time of need. We said it before, and I'm sure we all think it in one way or another, but we do have needs that nobody but God can fulfill, and we know that. And to be foolish to ask anybody else.
Amen.
He is a King. He says, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. And in those words, unto thee will I pray, is implied, I will not pray unto anybody else. No, not to Mary, not to saints, not to other gods of any sort, no angels. They can't help us, can they? Our help is in the Lord, who is our King and our God. He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Now, does he mean literal morning? Well, he certainly could. Usually, I wake up in the morning, and the first thought in my mind is my God and my Savior. And whether I literally say it or not, or whether even I literally think it or not, embedded within my heart and mind is the knowledge that God is my Savior, and that He will hear me that day, that morning. But it's also figurative language, that our prayer is that He will hear us early. That there'll be no delay in it. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Now, why did the psalmist put that in here right at this particular point? What has that got to do with the rest of this, with the prayer? Well, that is our main cry, isn't it? To be delivered from what? From sin, evil, wickedness.
I believe there's a proverb I considered today or yesterday that God does not hear the prayer
of the wicked. Yeah, he's not attentive to the wicked.
Right.
This is our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us, and lead us not into evil or temptation, right? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? Isn't that, though, the basic? Isn't that what he's saying here? For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. So, if we're going to meet with God, it must be with clean hands and a pure heart. It says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Now, how does that square with the modern day religious propaganda, I guess I can call it? In spite of, right? Oh, God doesn't hate anybody. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's the reason they don't stand in his sight, is because he hates all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing.
Lies
are, just thinking. They're calling God their Father when they have nothing but disobedience in their heart and mind. How are you going to call him Father when it's a lie? The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man, but as for me, can we say that? But as for me, are we different than that? Are we still foolish, and are we workers of iniquity, and are we bloody and deceitful? Do we have blood on our hands? The psalmist says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear, will I worship toward thy holy temple. As we come before the Lord, we do not come presumptuously or arrogantly. We bow before him and reverence him, understanding that whatever he does for us, it is because of his mercy and grace and goodness towards us, not for our sakes. Right? This is the 103rd Psalm. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name right? That's what it's all about. If we come before God, or try to come before Him, arrogantly, puffed up in pride, then is He going to hear us? No.
Put you in place.
He will put us right in our place. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Because of my enemies? Is that the reason? Is that a good reason for the Lord to lead us in righteousness? Yeah, it really is. Because in righteousness is peace, right? The work of righteousness shall be peace. Even to a great degree, peace with your enemies, right? If a man please the Lord, he is able to make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, it's not a guarantee he is able to do it, but it doesn't always work that way because of, again, the purpose of God. But how many times does it work that way? Well, more times than we know. Because often times God works and we don't even recognize it. Why do you think that this nation has been so much at peace in its history? It hasn't been because we're so good, but it's been because God is able to make their enemies to be at peace with us. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them. What a prayer. Huh? Well, the psalmist didn't know that he wasn't supposed to. He didn't know that verse of scripture, judge not that ye be not judged. Somebody failed to teach him that, didn't they? Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. Now, the psalmist is not praying this for his own benefit. He's praying it for the glory of God. That the holiness and the righteousness of God might be known in the earth. Remember when how many times that when God told the people of Israel that he would destroy them, that he would be their enemy, how many times did he say the reason for it was that the heathen might know that he was God, that he is God. He goes on, but let all those that put their trust in thee do what? Rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Again, he defends us with his righteousness. He doesn't always keep us from bodily harm, but he does always keep us from spiritual harm. And which is more important? Yeah, fear not him that is able to destroy the body, right? But rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in what? In thee. Again, the real test of whether we're the people of God or not is if we can rejoice in him. Not in what he can give, but in him. After all, he is holy. He is righteous. He is just. And all the other attributes and characteristics of God do rejoice in that. Let us joy in that. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's always nice and life is easy when everything, all your circumstances are good. But when they're not, can we still rejoice in him? If all the world is gone, can we still rejoice in him? For who he is, for what he is, for his will, for his ways. Can we truly say from the depths of our heart again, thy will be done? You can't say that in the flesh. You've got to have grace. You have got to have the power of God working in you to truly say that, to be honest about that. And guess what? We sure get tested a lot on it. Right, Bruce? We do. And the sad thing is, how many times do we fail the test? But thank God again, he is faithful and he uses those failures to strengthen us for the next battle that's coming along. Because we repent of it. But you know, repentance also brings for holiness, doesn't it? But let them also that love thy name rejoice, or thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Aren't you glad that when he says that time is coming when there'll be many false Christs and false apostles doing great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were what? Possible, even the very elect should be deceived. But why isn't it possible? Because he blesses us with righteousness and favors us by compassing us about with a shield. Does that bring any scripture to mind? The armor of God. So, as we go to the Lord in this time of prayer, I trust that these things will direct our attitude, that it will establish, I guess would be a better term, that it will establish our attitude towards Him. We come to Him walking in fear because we know it is only according to His good pleasure. But we can give thanks today that it is His good pleasure to attend unto the cry of those that do come with the attitude of the psalmist, looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, to lay aside, help us, O Father, lay aside those sins that doth so easily beset us, that we might indeed run with patience the race that is set before us. May God help us today. May He be pleased indeed with our prayers.
The word compass, brother, there's nothing wrong with what you said, but I like the word surround. He surrounds us.
Well, it's essentially the same thing.
Correct, it is the same thing.
It just means that He has hedged us about.
Correct. Right.
With, as He did Job.
He protects us all.
At all times, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee.
Well, and the Lord our Savior, because to this hour, it's
yeah, many times they tried to take Him. It couldn't be done.
He slipped away. This is ours.
It's still according to His purpose.
It's all according to His purpose. I pray and trust today that is our great desire. It's Thy will. We have many loved ones that we know of that are sick. We've got problems. We're surrounded at the same time with all kinds of problems, circumstances that we didn't create. Some of them we did, but some of them we didn't create those problems, those circumstances. He can deliver us out of